So let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning. And Paul got right into it, so we're going to get right into it and pray that God will anoint our time together this morning. Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, as your daughters, God, that you love us unconditionally, Lord, that you pursue us, Lord, that you do never give up on us, Lord, and you came to give us life, to give us abundant life, Lord, and we're just thankful that we have the privilege to not only be your children, Lord, but that we can have your word, that we can glean, Lord, we can draw closer to you, we can have that intimate relationship with you just as we are, Lord, that we don't have to come and be clean, Lord, but we just come and allow your word, allow your love, allow your, even your chastisements, Lord, to cleanse us and to make us more like you. And this morning, Lord, we invite you and ask you that you would be with us. We know you are. We know you're here in our presence. And we just pray that you would open up our minds, our hearts, our ears to hear what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read. I'm going to just read the whole chapter of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we suffered before and were spitefully treated in Philippi, as you know, actually, you know what? That's the wrong one. You're probably like, where is she? She's in 1 Thessalonians. Just tricking you guys to see if you caught on. Anyway. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go again. Now, brethren, see, it starts out the same. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in your minds or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining that may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So here, Paul, the word gets back to Paul. Maybe through Timothy, maybe by somebody else that was visiting in that area, that there's some unsettling news. And we know from all the previous chapters in Thessalonians that Paul had been writing to them. He had first visited with them, and they're a new church plant, if you will. And Paul has been teaching them along with Silas and Timothy. But word gets back to him that, hey, there's some unsettling things happening there with the believers. And right away, Paul wants to address what he hears is happening over there, because it concerns the saints. It concerns those that are near and dear to his heart. False teaching is now coming in. Lies and rumors are starting to come into the lives of these new believers. So not only are they suffering persecution, but now they're hearing all kinds of rumors and lies about the day of the Lord. And Paul writes to remind them that he taught them. He's been there, and he taught the Thessalonians about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And he does not want them to be deceived. Deception runs rampant. No matter how long we've walked with the Lord, it's very easy for us to fall prey to deception if we're not grounded in God's word. He doesn't want them to be shaken, because when you're shaken, you can't move. You can't put one foot in front of the other and do the next thing. If you're standing up here just shaking, it renders us incapable of things, of moving forward. He doesn't want them to think that they're now living in the tribulation period. And that's what these people were lying about. They were saying, hey, the rapture already happened, and you guys are now living in the tribulation. He tells them in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there being a falling away first, a rebellion. Some translations will use the word apostasy. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of lawlessness. Apostasy, it means like a departure, a falling away, a rebellion, a revolt. And we almost see, you know, that kind of a stirring in our world today. We see people turning away from anything that has to do with the Lord, anything that has to do with Christianity. People are trying to twist it around and just say that truth is not truth, that there is an absolute truth. Whatever you think, remember the last sentence in the book of Judges, and they all did what was right in their own minds. And I think that we can say that we're kind of there right now in our society, that people are doing whatever they feel, whatever feels good, just do it. And I think it's always been that way, but now it's more accepted. And so Paul is saying, don't let people deceive you. They abandon all that is truth. And now we see that the stage is being set before our eyes. In Romans 1:25, Paul says that they exchanged the truth for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. We need to be careful that we don't exchange what we know is truth. What God has revealed to us through his word is the truth, and exchange it for a lie. Just little whispers that come in our ear, and we start to believe it. We start to entertain those thoughts that go against what God's word says. The lawless one is going to wreak havoc in the world. During the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to control everything. He will control the economic system, the monetary system. The Bible says that no one that is here during that tribulation period will be able to buy or sell unless they take the mark. He's going to perform miracles. And sadly, many, many people are going to follow him, not because they're forced to. People aren't going to be forced. They're going to choose to. So many people are going to choose to follow Satan. And not only follow him, but they will choose to worship him. In Isaiah, we read about the fall of Satan, whose name is Lucifer. And it's kind of... It boggles my mind, you know, when you think about him and how he was an angel. He was in heaven. The Bible describes him as beautiful, that he was a cherub, which was an honorable place, an honorable position in heaven. And yet in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, we read, how you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High God. Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depths. Pride comes before the fall. And oh, how prideful this once shining star was, and how pride not only destroyed him, but continues to destroy so many. Pride wreaks havoc in this world. It wreaks havoc in our lives. It causes so much destruction, not only to ourselves and to our own lives, but if we're prideful, we destroy many people that are around us. We have to be careful because it comes in so subtly. It's not something that all of a sudden, boom, we wake up one day and we're prideful. No, it just starts with that little way. I can worship better than she can. I can teach better than she can or he can. I can do this better. Because that's how we are. That's our sinful nature. We all think we're better than each other. We can cook better. We can do this better. Pride. If that kind of attitude starts to come into our lives, just throw your hands up. Lord, take it. Take every thought captive to him. Don't let that little seed of pride come in, because it doesn't stay a little seed. It will grow and it will develop into something ugly. God resists the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. That is his heart's desire for us, is to remain humble. Jesus, who had every right to be prideful, he was clothed in humility. And so I just want to say that we're going to do practical application today in this teaching. I did not listen to Pastor Rob last night on purpose, or I probably would have rewritten everything that God had for me today for us. But I heard in our leaders group that amazing message. So if you really want to learn more about eschatology and you want to learn some of the things about the rapture and the second coming and apostasy, please listen to last night's message. You can find it on YouTube or Facebook. I don't know. There's so many different ways that you can listen to it. But I want us to look at the practical application, because no matter if you've been saved for one day or we've been saved for 40 years, we are susceptible to deception. We are susceptible to all the different things that are going around, especially in these last days. How do we stand fast? How do we keep our feet planted firmly on the ground? How do we guard our hearts and our minds from being deceived? How are our hearts established? Paul writes in verse 2 that he doesn't want them to be easily shaken or alarmed. We in California, we know what it's like to be shaken, right? Because we experience earthquakes. And being an East Coast girl and then moving to the West Coast, I can remember feeling my first earthquake and not even understanding what it was. And they come upon you so suddenly. You know, they have, I don't know what they call them, seismologists or something like that. They, I made that word up. But they... I had to confess. But nobody can really predict. They can predict that it's coming, right? They can predict it's coming. Just like we cannot say when the day of the Lord, when is he coming back for us? When is the rapture going to happen? But there's signs. And so these scientists, they can kind of tell, like, oh, it looks like a big earthquake might be coming. But when the earthquake comes, none of us are prepared for it. And so we shake and we tremble sometimes. It catches us off guard. And this earthquake can cause all kinds of things to fall off the shelves, to break all kinds of things. Why? Because they're not securely set. You know, and I think they now have that blue stuff. If you have treasures, you can use this gummy glue or whatever they call it to put your valuables and make sure that they're not going to be moved in case of an earthquake. But earthquakes, shakings, it causes so much destruction on the unsuspecting. And so what do we as God's daughters, how can we not be shaken when all these things come our way? Well, we look to the word, right? We're not going to give each other tips apart from what God's word says, because our words fail us. God's word never fails. So Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Are you setting the Lord before you? you don't want to move backwards, right? We want to move forward. So don't put the Lord behind you. Put him ahead of you so that we're following after him. He's not our backup plan. God is not our backup plan, ladies. When all else fails, we run to God. No, we set our eyes. Our eyes are fixed upon him. Proverbs 4:13, take firm hold of instruction and don't let go. Keep her, for she is your life. God's word, the truth of his word. In him we live, breathe, and have our being. His word is our instruction, the way that we should be living. In Luke 6:47 to 49, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm. Why? Because it is well built. We all want to be well built, don't we? We get well built through the word of God. But here's the opposite. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. This is practical insight for us. Where are we building? Are we building a firm foundation? Are we building on sinking sand? All those houses, these beautiful, wealthy people that live in these houses that are on cliffs overlooking the ocean. Every time we have rains, every time there's windstorms, those houses come tumbling down. Remember the song? We used to sing it in Sunday school, you know? I'll spare you. But we must be rooted and grounded in God's word. The root is the life of the tree. If the tree has no roots, it dies. It cannot survive without roots. The roots go down deep, as we've mentioned in different studies. They're not usually visible. Those roots are so far down, but they are the stability and the foundation of that tree. Know what the truth of his word says. Walk in the light as he is in the light. If we don't know what light is, how are we going to know what darkness is? If we don't know what the truth is, how are we going to know what the lies are? We need to be rooted and grounded in the truth of his word. Since the beginning, Satan's twisted the word of God. Right in the book of Genesis, we see that he is talking with Eve. Did God say? In that moment, Eve got wrong what God said. God told them not to eat of the fruit, and Eve turns around and thinks, oh, he said that we couldn't eat it, nor could we touch it. That's not what God said. God didn't tell them not to touch the fruit. Satan got Eve to doubt what the Lord had said to her. And then he got her to think that she was missing out on something. And that's exactly what Satan does. Even to this day, wants to twist the word of God. Just change one word. Just change the wording around. That's why it's so important, precept upon precept, that we read the word of God in its full context, not just picking out and choosing what tickles our ears and makes us feel good or gives us, oh, well, I can do that. Because here it says right here, I have the liberty. But we don't read the whole word in its context. And then to miss out. Satan always wants us to think that we're missing out. That's why there's so much stuff out there available, even in Christian world right now. Get the new thing. Get the new experience. Get a new this, a new that. We're not missing out. If we have the word of God hidden deep within our heart, there's nothing more that we can add to it. We can gain some insight from some people that have walked with the Lord and things like that, but nothing can add to the word of God. We're not missing out. And so I have a funny little illustration, and it came to me last night, so that could tell you a lot. But I thought about how easy it is for us to be, and I'm using the word deceived very lightly in these illustrations, but I do think they are important to consider. So how many of us would read the account of Genesis, with Eve and the fruit. And what is the fruit?
Knowledge.
We all say it's an apple. Every picture, every artist depicts that it's an apple. And that's not in the word, right? But we become familiar with the things that we talk about or the things that we visualize. And so it's not, is it a sin? I don't think so. I don't know. But it's like, it's not an apple. It's a piece of fruit. I personally think it's a pomegranate because those are much tastier. But these are, that's just something a little bit harmless. But what about God helps those who helps themselves? How many people would say that that kind of verse is in the Bible? But it's not. But we hear it enough, even in our Christian circles. And then this one. Precious sister, God will not give you more than you can handle. I have been guilty of that one in the past until one day my mind just blew open. It was like, wait, what? I don't know. I think the Holy Spirit just convicted me that that is not in there. Because you know what? God has given me a lot more than I can handle many times. He doesn't promise that we're not going to have more than we can handle. But he does promise us that we'll have escape when we're tempted beyond what we can handle, beyond what we can take. He promises us that his word, that his presence will be with us, that his strength and his grace is going to get us through these things. And so this is how, even though they're silly illustrations, this is how deception can come. And we have to be on guard that we just don't take what other people say is in God's word and make it truth, because it's not. And we don't know truth if we don't read it for ourselves. Colossians 3:16 says, let, remember we talked about that before, let, choose that the word of Christ will dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let his word dwell deeply in our hearts. Hide his word in our hearts. Be a part of one another's lives. This is how we don't get deceived. We stay in each other's lives. Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Come together. We talked about a few weeks ago that huddle that we have together, that we're in this together, that we need each other. We need to spur each other on. We need to encourage each other to keep on fighting the good fight. And as Paul did, as Jesus did, as other disciples did, we need to be willing to be corrected. That we would be humble enough that if we are in error, or to go to one another in love and correct one another. That's part of being in the body of Christ. We don't nitpick at each other and just da-da-da-da-da. No, but we're willing to go to one another as the Holy Spirit leads us and correct one another. And then we're humble enough to receive that correction. In John... Another practicality, we need to know the voice of our good shepherd. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I love the story in John 20 about Mary being at the tomb, and she's weeping. And Jesus asks her, why is she weeping? But she's at this moment, she doesn't know that it's him. But then he says her name, and he just says, Mary. And she turns around and she says, Rabboni. She knew her shepherd's voice. Do we know our shepherd's voice? Because if we don't know our shepherd's voice, we're susceptible to all the other voices that are trying to grab for our attention. Know your shepherd's voice. When you study the word, ask him, say my name, Lord. We sing that song. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. Ask him. Ask him to speak to you personally through his word. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we ask him, he will speak to us personally. How does a child know the voice of their mother or their father? It's a voice that they hear often. They're going to recognize their parents' voice. They're in constant company, constant communication with their parent. And so they recognize that voice, and they would know if somebody else tries to come in and pretend that they're their parent. Know your Savior's voice. May we be in constant contact with our Savior, that we're able to discern the voice of God and know when somebody is trying to impersonate him or his word. In verse 15, back in 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul tells them to stand firm and to hold to the traditions that they were taught by them, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to stand firm, to be steadfast, to be firmly fixed, and to be firm in what you believe according to God's word, to be constant, to persevere, to remain steadfast, to be firmly committed in conviction or belief, to refuse to change your position or your thinking when it comes to the word of God. And this is when those people come and just try to twist again. That's Satan's job, if you will. He wants to mess us up in our head. He wants to twist the word of God. Stand firm on solid ground so that we're not easily moved or shaken. Hold fast to the traditions that you've been taught. And not Paul's not talking here about ritual. He's not talking about, you know, some of us grew up in traditional churches and there were things that you did. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the tradition of the teaching of God's word. In Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. These are the traditions to be in fellowship, to be in church where God's word is being taught, to share in communion and to pray directly to God, and then to pray with and for one another. And Paul ends his letter with a prayer for them. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and establish your hearts in every good work and word. Paul gives thanks for them and reminds them that they are beloved by God. We live in a world where people are craving love. They're just so desiring to be loved by somebody. And they go to all kinds of extents to find this love. But they're not looking in the right place. And so we as Christian women, we have the privilege, we have opportunity to share that love with them, to go to the hurting, to go to the lost, and let them know that they are beloved by God. I thought about, you know, those little bracelets that Debbie has with Jeremiah 29:11. And I was like, oh, I want to get the ones that say Jesus loves you. Because I think we live in a world that people don't know they're loved anymore. You know, families are broken and relationships are broken. And because of the economy, I can't tell you how many times I go to a parking lot and I cry because, like, you can tell people are living in their cars. And they're not drug addicts. They're not people that, you know, made this lifestyle for themselves. But they were just barely hanging on. And our world, our economic system is crashing. And people are crashing. And they need to know that they are loved. How will they know if we don't tell them? That's a gift that God has given us, that we're able to share that love with other people. We are loved. Our God promises us a hope and a future in him, the one true living God who promises to never leave us, to never forsake us. We are so loved by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are treasured by him. We are cherished by him. We are sought after by him. That song, you know, he'll lead the 99 just to go and find us if we're straying, if we've gone on the wrong pasture. he will come after us. And shouldn't knowing this, shouldn't not just knowing in our head, but knowing it with all of our being and believing it with everything within us, cause us and allow us to keep our feet firmly planted on the ground, no matter what moves us, to have a firm foundation in our walk with the Lord. James writes in James 5, 7 to 8, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for his precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." These are practical ways for us to guard ourselves against the deception, against the lies that the enemy wants to throw our way, to stay in the Word, to read God's Word, to come to church and to listen to what he wants to say to us and to be taught. Because we're never, Paul himself says that he's never attained. Why would we think that we've read the Bible once a year maybe, and we think that we know all we need to know. There's nothing more that we can learn. What a lie and what a deception that is, because every time we open his word, God reveals himself to us. Stay together. Stay in the fellowship. If you have questions, sometimes I read the word, and especially in this study, I wore out my steps this past week for this study, going back and forth to Jim's office and asking him question after question after question, and just ask. You know, our pastor is here. He doesn't just speak and then leave us. He's available for us to ask questions. There's people on staff, there's sisters and brothers that we can go to and ask. It's okay. Remember the disciples, they were with Jesus, right? They talked with him, he talked with them, he taught them. And sometimes I think they're just sitting around scratching their heads like, "What? Did you get it? No, I didn't get it. I don't know what he was saying. Do you know what he was saying?" And so finally somebody had the courage to say, "Hey, Jesus, what do you mean?" And guess what? Did he say, "You know what, you guys didn't listen. Figure it out on your own." No, he figured out a different way to tell them. And I'm thankful that the disciples were that way, because we wouldn't have parables a lot of times, because Jesus usually explained it in a different way through the parables and how we can relate to those parables. So don't be afraid to ask. Satan wants us to be afraid. God has not given us that spirit of fear and a timid spirit. So ask. And I close with a hymn. It's an old hymn, and there's a gazillion different variations, I found out. But I'm only going to read part of it to you, because it can go on like this. And it's called "I Shall Not Be Moved." And I was like, don't you kind of wish we could just like, you know, like get up here and sing this song all together, but I can't sing. So as I read it, if you want to, you can sing. But what a joyous way to know that we're standing on solid ground, that our eyes are fixed upon heaven, that we're going to come together as one. "I'm on my way to heaven. I shall not be moved. On my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I'm sanctified and holy. I shall not be moved. Sanctified and holy." See, I'm kind of getting that in me. "I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved." Are we going to be moved, ladies, by every wind of doctrine that comes our way? Absolutely not. And find this song on YouTube or put it on Spotify. And when you feel like you're starting to shake, or you're starting to fear, you're starting to tremble, you're starting to be moved from standing on the firm foundation, turn the song up really loud and just sing it, because the words are easy, but they're very reassuring. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what a joy it is to know that we shall not be moved, Lord, that we are building our life on firm foundation, God. We're building it upon your word that is all truth, that is all inspiring, that is all encompassing everything that we could desire in life, Lord. All that we desire is to know you, Lord, and to just grow in your word, in your love, Lord. We want to be in your presence, God, and help us to be those women who have eyes to see, those who are hurting, those who don't even understand what true love is. Lord, would you point us to somebody in this week that we can share your love with? Give us boldness, Lord. Give us kindness. Give us that heart that you have for the lost. Lord, because we know on that day, Lord, we know the destruction that's coming. But we want so many to be in glory with you, Lord, and not left behind. And so help us to be those that not only for our own lives and for our own sake are not deceived, but to be those, Lord, that are keen to listen and to point others in the right direction. Lord, to go to one another with a heart of love and humility and spare them from walking down a lane of destruction, God. Help us to keep our focus upon you, our eyes upon you. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you are to us. Where would we go? Where can we hide from your presence? Your presence is all around us, Lord. Help us to be faithful, to be diligent, to want nothing in this world that doesn't honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.